Well, I suppose one way of structuring that answer is to think in terms of supply and demand. There was a demand for somebody like Napoleon, a charismatic figure, a man who had military prowess, somebody who we would describe as a hero. And I think you can say in late 1790s France, the public was demanding such a figure. Now, of course, the supply part of the answer is, why should it have been Napoleon? Because there were other contenders to fulfil that kind of role. One has to remember that 1790s France is a France which is characterised by political instability, upheaval, indeed, civil war. The revolution hadn't really answered some of the fundamental questions about how France should be governed. It had raised really a lot of questions and problems. Now, the French revolutionary regimes of the mid-1790s try and answer those questions, but in answering those questions in their different ways, they antagonise a large segment of their population. Hence political instability, hence terror, hence violence, hence civil war. By the late 1790s, so one is talking really now from 1795 to 1799, when France was governed by a regime known as the Directory, by this phase, a large number of French people are simply sick of politics and are looking for a unifying figure. So that's, if you like, the demand. Why should that unifying figure be Napoleon? After all, he is awfully young. He's in his sort of late 20s in the late 1790s. He'd been born in 1769. Well, he was a successful military commander. He had first come to prominence in Toulon in 1793, but he really enters, if you like, public consciousness in 1796, 1797, when he wins a series of brilliant battles fought against the Austrians, who are France's, one of France's main enemies in the so-called Revolutionary Wars. So Napoleon is a good general. He's a good military commander. His forces are outnumbered. He makes best use of those limited resources. He's a great strategist. He is an inspirational leader. But he isn't the only French general who is young and inspirational and successful. There are others. And I think where Napoleon is head and shoulders, if you like, above the rest, is that he is also a very good salesman. He makes great use of the media, of the press. So he's very good at selling himself. And some of his kind of rivals, if you like, aren't as good at that. And this becomes especially apparent actually in the campaign that Napoleon leads in Egypt, where he's fighting against the Ottomans and against their British allies. So we're talking now 1798, early 99. In military terms, actually, that campaign is something of a disaster for France. Napoleon manages to get himself cut off in Egypt with a French army because the Royal Navy in the Mediterranean wins a key kind of naval battle against the French Navy. So in a sense, Napoleon is stranded in Egypt. He can't do very much there strategically. And indeed, at one point, at the end of the campaign, he abandons his army and goes back to France. So by most, I think, definitions, that is a kind of catastrophe. But Napoleon manages to kind of spin this catastrophe into something which actually looks like a success, at least for him. So he projects himself as kind of a heroic kind of military leader who is also surrounded by scientists who he takes to Egypt. He talks about kind of regenerating Egypt, and he poses, if you like, also as a successor to Julius Caesar, who of course had kind of had connections with Egypt as well. So in PR terms, he snatches, if you like, victory from the jaws of defeat. So that's, if you like, the supply. And those two elements, if you like, come together. This French yearning for a military hero, a great unifying figure, and Napoleon's kind of heroic performance in Italy and, well, a kind of a heroic performance in Egypt, at least that's how he presents it. That comes together in the sort of second half of 1799. Napoleon, of course, has the army behind him. He's confronting a very unpopular regime in Paris, one which has lost kind of credibility. And the result is, I guess, arguably the first military coup in history in the autumn of 1799, where he seizes power.